I would like for you please to turn. I think we're going to get to Isaiah 25. I think I'm going to read a verse there. We're going to look at a record today. And I hope that this all sort of fits together. I've been spending some time in the Word looking at some things regarding the hope and some of those events that are going to come to pass in the future. And that was, as I was reading in some of these sections, I had to just sit back and take a few minutes to think about God and His faithfulness. You know, Genesis 1, it opens with God in the beginning did what? He created. He created the heavens and the earth. To create is to make something from nothing. Okay? That's our introduction to God. The second thing that we learn about our God is in verse 3. In verse 2, we see that the earth became without form and void. But in verse 3, it says, and God what?
He spoke.
Said. Right, spoke. He said. God said, let there be light. And there was what?
Light.
Right. That's our introduction to our God. In the beginning, created. And then he spoke it back into being. Isn't that something? Let's see. God's word, when God, and you see it all through God's word. We're going to look at one example. But you see many times in God's word, for the Lord hath spoken it. Or hath, you know, or God has said, that kind of thing. And the context many times of that is that which is spoken will come to pass. You know why it will come to pass? Because he spoke it. Do you understand? He spoke it. When God speaks it, it's going to happen. And you can see hundreds and hundreds of examples of this in God's word. And it starts in Genesis. And God said, let there be light. And there was what?
Light.
There was light. See, really something. I want to show you a quick example before we get to where we're going to get. Because we're going to look at the record of a man who trusted God. And kind of put his life on the line. But in Isaiah chapter 25, there's a verse, and I ran into this and looking at some other things. And it's in Isaiah 25. I sort of chose this one because it's we're kind of familiar with it. Or at least where it's reiterated in the New Testament and in 1 Corinthians. But Isaiah chapter 25. This is so beautiful. Verse 8. This is speaking about God, the Lord of hosts. Verse 8. He will swallow up death in what?
Victory.
In victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath what?
Spoken.
He hath spoken it.
Spoken.
See? He has spoken it. Isn't that something? Now this is alluded to, as far as the church is concerned, in 1 Corinthians 15. See? Where it says, grave, where is your victory? Right? Because at that time for the church, those who have fallen asleep in Christ will be raised, made alive. Those who are alive at the time of his coming to gather his church, the church of the one body, will be gathered together with those that have been raised. Isn't that something? And we will forever be with him. But here we read back in Isaiah, and it just says, for the Lord hath spoken it. You know, sometimes when you read those words, you just got to sit back. It's like a Selah moment. He spoke it. He spoke it. That means it's going to happen. Isn't that something? His word is that sure. You know, let's turn to 1 Samuel. We're gonna get there. 1 Samuel 17. This is going to be a record that you guys are pretty familiar with. But, you know, the world's a crazy place. And sometimes things move at a frenzied place. Sometimes there's just a lot of things going on in life, you know. You know, people talk about, you know, being able to be at home. You're in your home, and it's where you can kick your shoes off. And boy, there's some truth to that. But sometimes that can be tough, especially when you throw some kids in the mix, and you know, a bunch of other stuff going on, right? But I'll tell you, the one place where we can always have refuge, where we can always trust, where we can always kick our shoes off in our heart, which is really where it counts, is with our Father, with our God, and with His Word. We can take refuge in that Word because it's true. What He says about us is absolutely true. You know, regardless of how you feel about yourself, what He says is true. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something we can stake our lives on. You know, back to that, what we heard in Manifestations, look neither to the left or right. You know, I want to be to that place where with everything I stake my life on, waiting on my Heavenly Father, waiting on my God, and where I'm not tricked into relying on anything or anybody else. You know, there's a great record, and it really speaks to the heart of this man, David, who's just awesome. But this is a record when he was a young man, and you really see some things. It's pretty neat. This is a record you're familiar with, but I want you to read it as if you're not, because that will afford you the opportunity to perhaps see some things you will have not otherwise have seen. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah and Ephes-Damim and Saul, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now there's some argument over how tall this meant. I can tell you that it was really tall. You know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 feet. He was a big guy, but he wasn't just tall. He was a warrior. He was a man of great strength, great prowess on the battlefield. Anyway, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's heavy. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. That's a heavy spear. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. I tell you, he must have been quite a guy in terms of his battle prowess, because he was staking the lives of all the Philistines on whether he would win or not. It's really something. That they would serve, they would be slaves to Israel if he were to lose. And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were what?
Dismayed
and greatly afraid. Dismayed and greatly afraid. And you know what? By the senses, by what they could see, by what this looked like, they had every reason to be. They really had every reason to be in great dismay and in great fear. Now, but you know, before I proceed, wasn't Israel called by God? Right? Wasn't it God that said he would be their God? Right? Right? He called Israel, you know, his own. And yet they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David, verse 12, was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. So these 3 were serving in the army, and David was the youngest. And the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. This went on. Isn't that something? 40 days. That's a long time to be in dismay and fear. And Jesse said unto David his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Now, Saul and they, and all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. You can picture this. You know, as he's showing up, these guys are going forth to fight. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were what? Sore afraid, says. They were sore afraid. So this is the first time David's hearing this. It's the first time David's seeing this. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach or this insult from Israel? For who is this son?" Now, this is interesting. See, what you see is you see David's heart in this record. Okay, we're going to see some things. It's really cool. He had built some things. Really something. His perspective is a little different than everybody else's around him. And they were Israel that were around him. So, take away this insult. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of who? The living God. See, that was his perspective. These are the armies of the living God. That would be based on what? That would be based on God's word. See? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard. Okay, you know, it's not always good when the older brother gets involved. And when he spake unto them, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, what did you come down here for? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Isn't that something? This is his own brother. I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. What does God say of David? Wow. I'm going to tell you something. What we're going to read in this record is great humility to God's word. And that humility, many times, when you take a stand on God's word, it'll rock people. Sometimes it'll really make them angry. It'll make them upset. That's okay. You know, his brother accused him of being prideful. Was David being prideful? No. What his brother was doing was taking what David was doing and lining it up with what everybody else was doing. Everybody else was afraid. Everybody else was dismayed. How dare you? How dare you not be afraid? That's pride. How dare you not be dismayed? That's pride. From his brother's perspective, was it? No, it wasn't. Because from David's perspective, because of what he'd built, what this Philistine was doing was defying the armies, not of Israel, not those who followed Saul, not the servants of Saul, but the armies of who? The living God. See, and you watch that as we go. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, gets angry at him. I know thy pride, verse 29. And David said, What have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him, he sent for David. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. See, what Saul again was doing was he was looking at the census, he was looking at David's age, he was looking at David's lack of experience in fighting. He was looking at his youth. That's what he was looking at. See. And David said unto Saul, this is great. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Okay? Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now watch this. This is the key. Verse 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Does that sound like pride to you? Does that sound like he was bragging about killing that bear or killing that lion? No. He was depending on who? He was depending on God. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion. The Lord delivered me from that bear. And just as the Lord delivered me from that bear and from that lion, he's going to deliver me from this Philistine. Isn't that something? That's who David was relying on. That wasn't pride. That was humility. See? These other men were prideful. They were being prideful. And the result of their being prideful, the result of their not relying on God, not taking refuge in God, not taking God at his word, was fear and dismay. See, David had a totally different perspective because he was relying on God. He was taking God at his word. He was taking refuge in that word. He was trusting God. He was trusting that God would deliver him in this situation exactly like he did from the lion and the bear. Because how dare that lion and how dare that bear go after one of his father's sheep? How dare they? How dare this Philistine defy the armies of the living God? See, and it was from his heart. This is how he saw it. Because he had something built. See, isn't that neat? So, he's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a great coat of mail, or with a coat of mail. Boy, now you look like a soldier. And David girded his sword upon his army, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, look, I can't go with these. I've not proved them. And David put them off him. Look, I've never worn this stuff before. I've never done this. I've never gone to the battle this way. I'm not going to do it now. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Isn't that something? And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? Am I a dog that you came to me with staves? David could have said at this point, well, as a matter of fact, yes. Anyway, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I'll give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, with weapons of battle, weapons that you've proved, weapons that you're adept at. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Isn't that something? I am representing the Lord of hosts with this slingshot and with these little stones. See? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines, the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord doesn't save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Boy, Israel was going to learn a little something here too, weren't they?
Yeah.
Not just the Philistines. Israel was going to see that there was a God in Israel. Isn't that something? Boy, that's the result of this. And it came to pass, the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. Oh, I'll bet you he was not real blessed. Yeah. That David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and sling it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Let me ask you something. David did prevail over the Philistine with that sling and the stone, but is that how David did it? No, that's not how David did it. That's something. See, because he did it because he relied on God, the how was God.
Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. He said he was going to do that, didn't he? And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sha'ar Rahim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. Isn't that something? It's an awesome record. But it's a record of a man who trusted in God, who saw things from God's perspective. And that's what being in the Word does. It teaches your heart to see things from God's perspective. You begin to see life and situations from God's perspective. And we never lose for that because His Word is absolutely faithful. Absolutely faithful. Always faithful. Let's close with a couple verses here. I want to look at a couple verses in Psalms. Look at Psalm 5. You know, we're children of the living God. We're sons. We've got God's Spirit born in us. Can't lose it. Because we've believed on the name of Jesus Christ. God sees us as righteous. We can take refuge. We can totally and utterly trust in our Father. Kick our shoes off, so to speak. We can rest, take refuge in His Word. Isn't that something? And there will be days, man, where that may be the only refuge you get. That's okay. In Psalm 5, verse 11, it says, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice." The English Standard Version translates this as, and it's kind of neat, the word trust. It's a word that means to take or seek refuge in. That's what it means. And they translate this as refuge, to take refuge. They rejoice that take refuge in Thee. Let them ever shout or sing for joy. The word for shout is the word sing. Because You defend them, let them also that love Thy name be what? Joyful in Thee. For Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. Isn't that beautiful? Taking refuge in God, trusting in God. Let's just look at a couple more real quick. Psalm 17 is another one. You know, you read things like this, Psalm 17:6. I have called upon Thee, for Thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline Thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. You know, we have access. Isn't that something? We have access unto God. By grace, we have His Spirit living in us. Isn't that something? Anyway, verse 7. Show Thy marvelous loving kindness, O Thou that savest by Thy right hand them which put their trust in You, from those that rise up against them. I want to read you from the ESV, how they translate it. It's really beautiful. Wondrously show Your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at Your right hand. Isn't that awesome? Seek refuge from their adversaries at Your right hand. You know, that hand of power of our God. our Father. And then Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Kind of harkens back to what we heard earlier. Look neither to the left nor to the right. See, it's that idiomatic way of saying, don't look to anything else. Don't rely on anything else, but rely on your God. No. Put your trust in Him. Wait only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, or my deliverer, my defense. He only is my deliverer. He only is my defense. He only is my rock, and I won't be moved. God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Isn't that something? Trust in Him when? At all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Think about that. Trust in Him at all times. Rest in Him. Look to Him. Now, just chew on that for a little while. Selah. See? It's where you just sit back, take a sip of coffee. Boy, what does that mean? That refuge, that trust. See? What does that mean? You think about it. And that's who God is. That's who our God is. You know? You know, David did what he did. And it was him and God. Everybody else was afraid. And sometimes, standing on God's word, not always, absolutely not always, but there are times when that's what it'll look like. Everybody else is afraid. But you've built the word in your heart, and you're as cool as a cucumber because you know God's faithful. Right? And that's okay. That's good. You know? Because Israel saw a great thing that day, didn't they? They went from fear and dismay to seeing God work and then spoiling the Philistines.
Yeah.
See? Really something. Because David took a stand. So, amen. That's what I wanted to share this morning. Okay?